What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. We're talking about the economic news. It's hour number two. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Over at Wells Fargo in their municipal bond division, apparently things are not going well. And we know that municipal bonds are not performing very well because a lot of cities can't, you know, repay it right now. They don't have the money. They're hovering at the edge of bankruptcy. And so Wells Fargo has been forced to dismiss several senior bankers. So that's another bad sign that the economy is not doing as well as the government and corporate media would like you to believe that it's doing. Very interesting study was done. This is reported over at Zero Hedge. And let me preface this by reminding you that yesterday I was saying that something like 43% of Americans don't have enough money to pay rent and food, and they're having to make choices. And according to this article, Americans are more likely to pay their cell phone bill rather than their car loan. And I guess they see the cell phone as more important, or it may be that it takes a long time from a default on a car loan to a repossession. And it's one of the reasons why Claire and I paid cash for our car that replaced the stolen Honda, because it's ours now, and no bank can come take it away when the economy implodes. Let's take a phone call from Steve Elkins. Aloha, Steve. Welcome back to the show. What's on your mind today?
Well, you know, we haven't heard Trump talk about the elections in 2020, presidential election again, because I assume he's going to run again. But my wife and I were talking the other day, and she mentioned something that was really interesting. And I thought, yeah, doing the math, we deplorables, which were about 50%, I guess, the whole country was divided on this last election. So doing the math of the deplorables, we've all abandoned the Trump train, and I know I have. So if you're looking at 50% of the population that was in support of Donald Trump is now down to maybe, let's say, 20% abort and take off. You got 30%. He can't win with 30% in 2020. Nope. So I actually theorize the Republican Party, they don't like him anyway. They're not on the same page. I wouldn't be surprised in 2020 if they actually find another candidate and support that candidate, that Republican candidate, and Trump, well, either he bows out or he's going to get some really bad, dismal numbers. But I can't see him winning in 2020 when people are, who supported him, his own base is actually taking off and leaving him. Like I said, I'm gone.
Yes.
I'm off the train.
You're right. He isn't talking about it, and he may have just decided he's going to be a single-term president. But you're right. Unless the situation improves greatly for the American people, unless Trump starts keeping some of those promises that affect the entire nation, like draining the swamp, vaccine safety, honest elections, then Trump won't survive the primary season.
Right. Right. That's it. One-term president. That's it. Hey, yep. Thanks, Michael. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. We're going to switch over to Raleigh in Minnesota. Aloha, Raleigh. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, we had such a good talk yesterday. I just wanted to correct something that I said yesterday before I dive into the topic. It's the Surgeon General that wears an admiral uniform, not a Sessions, you know, the Attorney General. But I was giving you a call about shootouts that have been happening on a frequent basis in South Africa involving South African gangsters. They've been attacking cash and transit vans, and there was one such heist that was done in Johannesburg mm-hmm. Thursday morning at 9 a.m. involving a bunch of men that rolled out of a SUV and attacked one of these vehicles and actually blew up the van, you know, with money all on fire. We don't know how much money has been stolen and to tell, you know, in number, but it looks a lot like the movie Heat, you know, the 1995 mm-hmm. movie with Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, and Val Kilmer. And it's happening on a monthly basis. I wrote an article and posted it on the Renegade Tribune this morning, but this phenomenon was new to me. But they do it on broad daylight, you know, and they've actually blocked off a whole section of the suburb that they were in just to do this particular crime. And there was rumored that one of the police officers were involved in attacking the G4S security team that was actually carrying the money.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a person that captured the entire incident on a motorcycle. And then you got a woman that's inside of a building who talks really pleasant, you know, that sort of English, Australian sort of accent, you know, really fine. You know, everybody calm down. You know, it's going to be fine. And then she says, holy smokes, really loud. But she didn't say holy smokes, you know, when she heard the bomb go off.
I understand. I understand. Thank you for constraining your language.
Right. And I can't believe that this is the phenomenon going on in South Africa right now where, you know, you could get caught up in a gunfight between gangsters. Like, there was a dozen of them all together. And they actually got the police officer testify, you know, that, you know, the what exactly happened and transpired. And they actually caught some of them. They got a helicopter to follow exactly their whereabouts for five of them, but six of them on the loose. And it's absolutely amazing. And it's something that happens like on a monthly basis in South Africa now.
Well, South Africa, unfortunately, looks to me like it's heading to be the next Zimbabwe. First of all, with the land grab away from the heritage white farmers. Again, these white farmers are being penalized for something they had no control over, because these farms have been in South Africa for several generations. And it is just as unjust to demand they turn over their land to the black people. What happened in the past is in the past. Again, they're going to wreck the place.
Absolutely. The police are playing cowboys and the Mupakanaba are playing Indians. And that's what exactly it is. There's barely any rule of law in South Africa right now. It's basically being held together by a piece of duct tape. And it's not every single black tribe that hates white, but there are particular tribes, you know, that are black in South Africa that feel that we should kill the golden white goose and take all of its eggs. And there's another group that are like, no, let's not kill the white goose. You know, he lays these beautiful eggs for us and helps out our civilization. You know, so I don't want to paint them all being in one, you know, particular group. You know, there's different, there's a divide among the tribes in South Africa about having Afrikaners inside of their country. You know, they're not all blacks eating white babies. That's not exactly what's going on, but there is that dynamic of thugs and gangsters that see that they could actually just take away, you know, Afrikaners' hard assets and their money just right from them, just take away their farms, you know?
Yes. And we reported on that a little while ago. Let's see. Okay, Raleigh, thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to do a shout-out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining the network. And we're going to take a phone call from Francis in North Carolina. Aloha, Francis. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, aloha to you both.
Aloha.
Hey, there you go. I hate to disappoint Steve and you both severely. I really hate to disappoint you both, but it wasn't the people who voted Trumpy Poo into office. The reason why I say that is because the Electoral College is the what put him in office. Now, that being said, I mean, people can go through the polls and go through the whole process of who they voted for, the best actor in the whole scenario, shindig, if you want to call it that. At least I do, anyway. It's ultimately the Electoral College that put the various people in place. Now, whether or not Trumpy-poo did what the Electoral College wanted him to do, or some variation of that, or whatever have you, that's up to the Electoral College as to whether or not he serves again or not. Not the everyday people. I mean, people went out there and voted, yes, they wanted to, you know, get involved in that shenanigan, but ultimately, no. A lot of people have been deceived by that process for so long, it's not even nauseating to even think about. But I hate to disappoint you two fellas, but no. The everyday person did not put him in office. So, with that said...
With the exception of the superdelegates, the Electoral College is made up of electors who basically are put in there by the voters. Now, the rules vary from state to state. In some cases, it's proportional. In some states, it's winner-take-all. But had the American people not voted in very large numbers for Donald Trump, the Electoral College would have gone the other way to Hillary. But that's the way the system works, and that's the way, you know, both campaigns were being run. And it was almost childish for Hillary Clinton to come on out after the election was over and start declaring that we should ignore the Electoral College. I won the popular vote, except that we know that a lot of illegal immigrants voted for her, and their votes really should not count. So she didn't win the popular vote either.
Yeah. Well, even with that said... I'll grant you that, but even with that said, it's not to say that an organization like the Electoral College, just like any other organization there is in the political scene, is capable of creating a really great illusion that the people generally will fall for. So, again, I tend to stay out the side. I watch and observe what's being said or heard or whatever, and it's like I'm basically laughing my tail off at what I'm seeing and hearing and what people are saying and talking about, and it's like they either tickled, they either had their fancy, their tickled fancy or whatever go on, or they're so PO'd that they're like, you know, like a piranha or whatever, you know, in the water. But
yes.
It's like, please, people, pull yourself together. I mean, you've been played, you've been had, you took the bait, line, hook, and sinker. So you know, get with your life. And stop it. So, anyway, enough out of me. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks an awful lot for the phone call. Ultimately, though, our election system does have to be fixed. we know that the electronic voting and counting machines are very easy to hack by the workers at the poll. If you go over to blackboxvoting.org, you can see a lot of material about that. There's a great documentary on the subject called Hacking Democracy that HBO put out a few years back that features Bev Harris, who's the woman who runs blackboxvoting.org. And you look at the software that she obtained from one of these voting machine companies, and you can just see it's been set up to allow somebody who has access to the physical machine to get in and change the results. Same thing applies to those counting centers. And at the very end of Hacking Democracy, they actually run a demonstration of how these electronic machines can be gamed from the outside with just the memory card. So that's one problem right there. The second problem is, of course, that the liberals have succeeded in overturning voter ID laws in many states. Allowing illegal immigrants to vote. Out in California, illegal immigrants are being given driver's licenses and they're registered to vote at the same time, which is just absurd. They're not supposed to be allowed to vote. They shouldn't even be in the country. So then we have the the third problem in that the party apparatus is also corrupt. We saw that in 2016 with the Democrats successfully rigging their primaries to favor Hillary Clinton, and the Republicans unsuccessfully trying to rig their primaries against Donald Trump. So it is a mess, and it needs to be fixed. Now, as far as the Electoral College is concerned, there are arguments for and against it. Originally, the Electoral College existed at a time when horse and buggy was how you got around the country. And even though the country was a lot smaller, it could take a very long time for electors to reach the Electoral College. Back in those days, you didn't get the results of the election that same night. It could take weeks. And rather than just try and bundle up and carry all the ballots cast in a state, they said, we'll just have an elector, and whoever wins the election in the state, gets the electors. And the electors are apportioned according to population. And then they would all get together and cast their votes. Now, a lot of people say that the Electoral College exists to basically prevent the domination of elections by high population states. Basically that if the Electoral College was removed, you would have the candidates focusing all their attention on the big cities and basically just ignore the people in flyover country who would never get a chance to meet the candidates and express what their concerns about the country were. So there's arguments on both sides. Personally, I think with today's technology, we could have a direct participatory election system. In other words, decisions that are being left up to Congress, big decisions, could be put to a direct vote of the people, like whether we go to war or not. Anyway. So we were talking about how Americans are more likely to pay their cell phone bill over their car loans. And apparently, this finding is going to boost the demand for securities that are backed by cell phone purchases. And yes, I am not kidding you. There are cell phone backed investment bundles coming to a Goldman Sachs retail branch near you. They learned absolutely nothing from mortgage bundling, student loan bundling. There are even bundles of home alarm contracts. So, Japan, Russia, and Turkey are starting to push back at Trump's tariffs, and they're basically over at the World Trade Organization talking about potential retaliation for tariffs on steel and aluminum. And they're talking about a total of around $3.5 billion in losses annually. Now, a lot of people are saying the tariffs are a good thing. It's going to stimulate American jobs. Basically, it's just another tax. The government is going to take that tariff money and they're going to spend it. We're not seeing Wall Street really start to invest in new manufacturing, and that's a problem. One with, as I reported earlier in the show, military implications. Now, when people talk about how slow the supposed economic recovery is going, we're often hearing this term, the global synchronous recovery. In other words, they're trying to bring all the country's economies up at the same time and keep them balanced. But as it turns out, looking at the actual data, the economies of the United States, the European Union, are diverging, specifically France and Germany. When you look at the PMI data, they're hitting 18-month lows. So the global synchronous recovery isn't global, and it isn't synchronous. Now, as I mentioned before, gasoline prices are headed up. We're going into the summer travel season where people like to drive over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house. And it is predictable. Every summer, gasoline prices will go up because they figure demand is up. People are going to say, all right, it's more expensive for the gas, but this is summer. We've got to go someplace here and there. Those of us on Oahu, we can't really drive all that far anyway. It's a small place. But at one gas station on Manhattan Island, gas is now selling for $5 a gallon. And with this Iran situation heating up, I expect it is going to get worse. Okay, we're coming up here on another commercial break, so stay tuned, and we'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
Extendivite, A 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Well, they're stealing down on Wall Street and in Washington, too. You know, it makes me wonder, what's a guy on Main Street to do? I've always tried to be an honest, upstanding kind of guy. But I must admit lately, I thought about giving something else a try. Oh, I want to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas. Yeah, I want to be a pirate.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. We're still talking about the economic news. And a few days ago, Total basically pulled out of a multi-party Iranian oil project. They had a big chunk of it. They're walking away from that because of what everybody sees is a coming war against Iran. And now British Petroleum has become the second company to basically pull on out, and they have halted work on a gas field that it co-owns with National Iranian Oil Company in the North Sea, citing the U.S. plans to reimpose sanctions on the Islamic Republic. Now, Iran owns half of the Rum field northeast of Aberdeen, and BP holds the other half, which it plans to sell to a U.S. or a British-listed producer, Serica Energy. So they're just getting on out while the getting is good. Britain is now expressing worries over Germany's reliance on Russian gas because of the possibility of a war interrupting that flow. And I'm wondering why this is coming from Great Britain. But again, it appears that somebody somewhere is considering a hot war with Russia. Or the more likely explanation is Britain wants Germany to buy gas from somebody other than Russia. That's another form of economic warfare. Okay, we're going to take a phone call. Pete in Florida, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. I'm really liking the idea of a direct democracy, you know, holding plebiscites. You know, the first argument people like to say is that's tyranny of the majority, and I would counter back and say that's tyranny of the minority that we have right now. I mean, we have 545 yes. people telling 333 million people what to do, right?
Right.
Yeah, yep, there's something else I want to clarify. Yesterday on your show, you threw psychology and psychiatry under the bus, and my undergrad yes. is in psychology, and I think for the opinion that you made, you're right about cognitive psychology and how the DSM-5, Diagnostic and Statistical Manual version 5, has really turned the pharmaceutical industry into a bounty. But I came from the school of behavior analysis, and those two kind of philosophies kind of butt heads. So I think there is some legitimacy to psychology if you were leaning on my side of the fence with behavior analysis. When you think about a little ding when you leave your key in the ignition, that's all based on the behavior analysis. So just to clarify a little, I mean, you're not wrong in what you said, but calling them pseudosciences, I think, kind of belies a...
Well, that was a Supreme Court ruling that used the word pseudosciences.
Well, and those guys are all lawyers. I mean, how much should we believe them, right?
Well, you know, it was an old decision back when the Supreme Court still had a sense of ethics and morality and legitimacy. But again, as I mentioned yesterday, I understand from the behavioral point of view, and I understand that just sometimes having somebody to talk to that is trusted can help deal with certain angst. But the reality is when they're talking about mental illness and prescribing pills for it, it's all subjective. There's no machine that you can hook somebody up to and it lights up on its little screen, this person is a manic depressive.
Well, they came out with that, I forgot what the O stands for, that something defiance disorder, and you look at the acronym, it's odd. Well, he's odd. Well, let's give him pills, you know. I mean, that's how silly it's gotten, I agree.
Well, you know, that article in Psychology Today really laid it on out that over the last... apparently a couple of decades, the profession, as it were, has sort of gotten into this idea of creating this theoretical ideal child. It was all decided by a committee. An ideal child will have these behavior traits, will feel strongly about this, not so strongly about that, and then started simply medicating all children who didn't fit into that ideal. But as Psychology Today pointed out, kids come in all shapes and sizes, and we're all unique individuals. And this attempt to drug children into being just these cookie-cutter copies of each other, yes, it made a lot of money, but was it good for the kids? And I think the answer there would be no.
I agree with you, sir. Have a great day.
All right, thanks an awful lot. Over in Italy, the Lega leader is telling France to mind its own business after France stuck their nose into Rome's internal economic affairs. French Economy Minister Bruno Le Maire called on the country's new Eurosceptic government to maintain its efforts to reduce its giant public debt in line with the European Union fiscal rules. And I think one of the reasons that the Eurosceptics are now in power in Italy is the Italian people is sick and tired of the European Union's fiscal rules and the predatory behavior of that European Central Bank. All right, we're going to take another break for commercials here, and we will be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're going to go to the phones. Nathan in Northern California. Aloha, Nathan. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Oh, hi, Michael. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to speak a little bit about Gaza and possibly, if I can, just a comment or two on Parkland, maybe Texas.
Okay.
But to get to the point on Gaza, I have to go back to around 10 years old and talk about a story I overheard my father talking about when he was in Korea. He was a fighter pilot in World War II, got called back up for Korea, and he was on the carrier with the squadron, and they got called up to go on a mission. They had spotted 3,000 Chinese trying to get off this small island and get to the mainland. The mission was to just wipe them all out. So when they got there, he said it was like a mile-long snake, and they were marching single file, and they were stuck in the mud. And he said the key to a successful mission was to see how well you could fly these S-curves and shoot at the same time. And he said when they were coming in, they would bend over at the waist, and as they went over, they would pop up and try to shoot them. Well, anyway, the end result was that none of them made it off the island. None of them. It was a slaughter. It was a massacre. But I was 10 years old at the time, and you know, it's like good guys and bad guys, cowboys and Indians. And I said to my father, boy, you must have gone back to the carrier, and everybody must have celebrated and been really happy about that one, huh? And he says, no. He said, nobody said a word. And I didn't understand this at the time, you know, being 10 years old, but when I got into my 20s or 30s, it kind of dawned on me as to what happened. They were in a situation where, you know, these guys were stuck in the mud. They couldn't get out of the way of the fire, and their guns were totally useless against Corsairs coming in at 400, 450 miles an hour. It was basically, you know, like I said, a slaughter, a massacre. And it was probably a mission that all of the pilots wished that they had never, you know, had to go on. And he also mentioned that if they'd have just waited till dark and the next low tide, all of them could have made it off the island. It was almost like he's rooting for the enemy. But to fast forward and get into Gaza, how do these hotshot Israeli F-16 pilots feel about bombing Gaza? And in this case, you know, you're bombing innocent men, women, and children. And then you have the artillery guys outside of Gaza firing into it. And now you have the snipers killing innocent men, women, and children. How do they live with themselves? I just don't get it. I just think it's absolutely a terrible tragedy. I have heard that members of the IDF, they do commit suicide, but
yes,
Israel covers it up, and we kind of yes, cover it up around here too. But anyway, that, you know,
I remember see
what's
seeing,
happening in Gaza.
This was many years ago, but somebody actually did interviews with the IDF soldiers after one of the military incursions into Gaza. And most of them, you know, were just kind of shrugging their shoulders. They weren't happy. But,
yeah,
you know, they're there to do a job. They're obeying their orders. But I imagine that as they get older, this stuff will come back to haunt them. Because
yeah,
it's one thing when you are in a real war shooting at somebody who's trying to shoot you. And it is quite another to just be slaughtering innocent civilians. And the fact that Netanyahu says there's a state of war doesn't change the reality. The Gazans are unarmed. They've got rocks
yeah,
and slingshots at best. And
I know,
Israel has the very latest modern weapons that U.S. tax dollars can buy.
Right, right. Well, I would imagine that there are some people out there that feel pretty bad about what they're having to do, and the whole thing is just a mess, and I'm pulling for the Palestinians. I hope there's better days ahead, but I'm not going to bank on it. One
yeah,
quick comment
unfortunately,
on... I know. Well, what I believe that Israel is doing is the same thing that we did to the American Indians. We have the settlers going west, and then we have Israel setting up an the United States would set up a cavalry post. And they
yes,
go west, more cavalry posts, and what they do in Israel, they move a double-wide mobile home onto a Palestinian's property, then they have an outpost, which is there to protect the encroachers, and the Palestinians get no help, but that's how, well, at least that's one of the methods that they use to steal the land, and I just think it's
yes,
a terrible thing to do. Just absolutely.
Well, Israel always talks about Eretz Israel, the Israel described in the Torah as reaching
yeah,
from the Nile to the Euphrates, and I
right,
personally think it's kind of ridiculous to shape a foreign policy around religion, but that's apparently a big part of the driving factor. God gave us this land. It's our land. It's our land. And God, in theory, gave the land to the Hebrews, but the majority of Israelis living in Israel today are not descended from the Hebrews. Most of them are descended from the Khazars.
Exactly. Well, I believe they're Eastern Europeans, and my great-grandmother and grandmother came over here from Hungary.
Yes.
I've got an old black and white photograph of my grandmother, and you can't tell the difference between her and Golda Meir's sister. I mean, it's like, my goodness, you know. It's unbelievable. And her last name was Sandor, which means Anderson in Hungarian, but it also means from Israel. And so when my great-grandmother got over here, grandfather, they didn't tell anybody that they might be Jewish, not even members of the family. So I don't know what kind of trouble they might have been in, but I don't think it was very good. She just married into the general population, and here I am.
Well, congratulations.
But yes, they are. I got a quarter in me, but, you know, I wholeheartedly agree with you that they are Eastern Europeans, and the whole thing is kind of ridiculous. Hello. But anyway, one quick comment on Parkland, if I can, that happened a few weeks ago. I was listening to Jim Fetzer after the school shooting, and he mentioned, where are all the video, you know, cell phone videos, you know, with 3,500 students? Where's the videos? And I kind of agreed. My observation was, don't they have PE in seventh period? I didn't see any kids in their gym clothes. I didn't see, you know, nobody on the track, nobody playing baseball, basketball, tennis. And then I was listening to Debbie at Sane Progressive on YouTube. It's quite a popular channel for the Bernie Sanders people way back when. But she watched 4 hours of drone footage at Parkland, and she
yes.
never saw more than 60 students. 60 students, 4 hours. And this gal, she's from our area back in New England. She's a graduate of UMass, 4.0 GPA, 14 years in the nursing business, and a very bright gal. So mm-hmm. what I thought, out here in California, we have like early out Fridays. It's kind of teacher union stuff. So I looked at the school schedules, you know, their calendars.
Yes.
And I found a whole bunch of school calendars have February 14th, Valentine's Day, early release day. You know, Jefferson, DeVal, Liberty, Calhoun, Okeechobee, St. Lucie, many others. Look them up. The students are dismissed at 1 o'clock. And so, you know, the reason that you didn't, they were gone. And if you look up the bell schedule on Santa Fe High School, the bell schedule on Santa Fe High School says that first period is at 7:10 a.m., when in fact most schools start at 7:55. So anyway, there's a little skullduggery for you. I don't believe that these things are what they say they are, and that's what I had to say. So thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you, and we're still getting more people coming forward from the Mandalay Bay shooting saying
yeah.
that they saw gunfire from overhead helicopters. And
right,
there's one
you know,
video
to
support this.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to let you go here.
Thank you.
And the phone lines are open again. Now, Israel, I guess there's just something about their policy of never showing regret or repentance or ever admitting that they have done something they probably should not have done. But apparently, Israel is very unhappy with the European Union over calls for a probe into what happened down there in Gaza and all the people who got killed and crippled. Israel's energy minister, Yuval Steinitz, said the European Union could go to 1,000 hells. And he was giving an interview on a radio station where he made that statement. And obviously, the European Union is saying there does need to be an investigation. And so this energy minister says, EU can go to 1,000 hells. That prompted a reply from a top European Union official saying that Israel should not disparage Europe because Europe is a major buyer of Israeli products. And the entirety of Europe is Israel's biggest trade partner. And there was a very revealing comment in this article, which appeared out of Sputnik News. He says, "You don't understand that we are under immense public pressure against Israel. So the government is aware that ordinary people are just disgusted and appalled at Israel's behavior." And I imagine that's an issue here looking into the midterm elections as well. I'd like to see all the friends of Israel voted out of Congress. Just get them all out. Remember what Cynthia McKinney reported? She said that when she was first elected to Congress, she was asked to sign a loyalty oath to Israel. And she refused because her loyalty is to the United States of America. No government can serve two masters. Now, the European Union is starting to look at all the difficulty trading across the Atlantic with mostly the United States. They're now starting to pivot toward Russia. And European countries are looking at Russia as an ally in their confrontation with Washington over Donald Trump's tariff measures and sanctions against Moscow and Tehran. And in this context, German Chancellor Angela Merkel's visit has marked a potential thaw in EU-Russia relations. The EU is starting to say, we're big boys and big girls. We'll decide for ourselves from now on who our enemy is. It's another illustration that this belligerent policy of the United States is failing. It's just coming apart. Another article, this one came out of internationalman.com, The Long Death of America's Middle Class. And they're pointing out the middle class is in decline. And in 2015, what is defined as middle class dipped below 50% of the population for the first time since data collection started on the issue. The middle class is now officially a minority group. And nearly half of Americans don't have enough money to cover a surprise $400 expense. Many people are living paycheck to paycheck with little or no cushion. U.S. homes are less affordable than they've been in decades, possibly ever. This is not a working economy for the American people. Works great for the money junkies. It's not working for we, the American people. Now, the European Union is to start trade talks with Australia and New Zealand. So they're going to build up a trade situation there. They want to open up EU markets to Australia and New Zealand farm produce, such as butter and beef and lots of lamb chops, wool. Australia is a great wool exporter. Over in Germany, there's been a bit of a hiccup in the refugee program. Germany's Federal Office for Refugees and Migration is being forced to go back and review more than 25,000 asylum decisions after allegations of corruption at its regional office in the northern city of Bremen. Now, some of those granted asylum were considered by German authorities to be potential security risks. This is coming from Der Spiegel. They include Syrian intelligence operatives, human smugglers, hardcore criminals, as well as potential Islamic State terrorists. Now, the Federal Office for Refugees and Migration currently rejects almost all asylum requests from converts from Islam to Christianity. And he said there were undergoing belief tests that rely on Muslim translators who deliberately mistranslate at the expense of Christians or converts. So it's a mess there. Now, not too long ago, Starbucks got itself into a bit of a controversy when two I think it was two men, wanted to use the men's room. They weren't paying customers, and they were basically asked to leave, and the liberals went ballistic. And Starbucks knuckled under and said that from now on, anybody can use their restrooms, and they will not turn the homeless away from simply sitting in the restaurants, even if they're not buying anything. And as can be expected, Starbucks is now turning into a homeless shelter, and it's basically turning off the paying customers. There's been a huge pushback saying it's, you know, the management is weak, the coffee is strong, and people are saying they're not going to go there anymore. Starbucks went too far. All right, we're going to take another break for commercials. I'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. Over in Paris, things are getting really kind of ugly there. And there's protests going on against Macron. Over these social and economic reforms that he's put on in that the French people do not like. Apparently there was a major clash between police and protesters in the Paris streets with water cannons and basically turned the neighborhood into chaos. And it's a shame to see any city, whether it's Paris or San Francisco, just deteriorate like this because of all of these not well thought out government policies, pandering to the bankers, pandering to the money junkies, pandering to the war machine. Over in Italy, their president has approved the Eurosceptic coalition's proposed choice for Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte. And he is as Eurosceptic as anybody else there. So we're going to see a huge pushback against the EU by Italy in the very, very near future. No question about that. Now, as you know, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg had to testify before the European Union Parliament over data mining, dealing with meddling in elections, privacy, and so forth and so on. And apparently Guy Verhofstadt, say that three times fast, really lit into Zuckerberg for creating a digital monster that's destroying our democracies. Now, the European lawmakers, at the end of it all, were disappointed in Zuckerberg's testimony. Part of it was the format, where Zuckerberg did not have enough time to answer all their questions. And in that way, he was able to avoid the uncomfortable questions. The EU is asking for fuller answers in writing, but it looks like that whole thing is going to blow over and nothing will happen there. If you have a Windows 10 computer, and you have my deepest sympathies if you do, do not install the latest update. Apparently, the April update, I know it's a little late to get this out, but apparently it is just hosing the machines. After installing the update, the computer appears to boot, but then you get stuck with a black screen and no icons, and there's an error message that the desktop file could not be accessed. So apparently it's happening not to every Windows 10 machine, but enough where it's generated a buzz on social media. All right, we're going to take a phone call from Steve Elkins. Aloha, Steve. Welcome to the show. I'm probably going to have to take you through the station break, but what's on your mind?
Well, I was just doing a research here. In the news last week, there was something posted that Donald Trump was supposed to meet with governors to talk about the sanctuary cities, sanctuary states, and it, like, completely, it's off the map now. I mean, I heard nothing about what they may have accomplished. I mean, it's really kind of simple. You follow federal law, and you get resources, you know, funding. But I never heard any more about it. Did you hear any more about this big meeting he had with governors?
No, and I think that would tell us that nothing was accomplished because or maybe that something was accomplished against the open border policy and the media doesn't want to report it. But you're right. We've heard nothing about it whatsoever.
Yeah, that's it. That's it, Mike. Just want to see if you know anything.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to let you go. The phone lines are open. And we're going to take a break for station identification.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell five.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.